You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid and conservative, and like the dude just said, just plain right. Hey, folks, thank you for staying with us. We're at 4.07 p.m. right now. Going to go to the phones. State Senator Arthur Orr serves the state of Alabama from Senate District 3 over in Decatur Way, right here in the listening area. Senator Orr is also a member of leadership within the Republican caucus of the state Senate and is one of our two budget chairmen. And the legislature goes into session tomorrow, so let's talk to him for a minute. Senator Orr, thanks for joining the show today, man.
Hey, good to be back with you, Phil. Hope all is well. Hope you had a great Christmas and New Year's.
All is well here, my friend. How about you?
You know, can't complain, but, you know, here comes the new session, and time to rock and roll, as they say.
You know, there are aspects of being in Montgomery with you guys that I miss. Mostly it's the relationships. There are aspects of it that I don't miss at all. And so, you know, blessings on you. All right, well, listen, let me just jump on this story out on Alabama Daily News, Todd Stacey's website, that there may actually be a special session on the allocation of federal relief funds. Like $580 million that are untapped right now. Well, what do you know about that?
Well, I think that's the way the wind is blowing right now, as far as having a special session in a couple weeks within the regular session. We do have an issue that is very time sensitive, and that is making a deposit in our unemployment insurance trust fund. And that's got to be done by the end of the month, so the end of January. So that's something that we'll really need to move along. But I guess the House leadership and, of course, the Senate leadership is polling their members as to whether that would be an acceptable scenario to go into some special session, say, the last week of January, last full week.
So if you have to drop into the unemployment compensation fund, how much are you looking at out of that $580 million, do you know?
$88 million. And what that would do would take us back to 2019 levels as far as what an employer's paying. If we don't do that, Phil, if we don't make that deposit, employers are going to see their rate hike as a substantial rate hike on their unemployment compensation payments that they have to make for their employees, that tax, the SUTA, you know, state unemployment tax account has to be made. And so we need to make that deposit, and we need to prevent or stave off any type of tax increase for employers.
Well, I don't disagree with that at all, because one of the frustrating aspects of this, and a lot of people don't understand, or they may not recognize because they've not owned a business, it's not the employee who pays the unemployment compensation tax, it's the employer, and it affects your rate. The more people who go out on unemployment, the more it affects your rate, and then if you have to get the fund plussed up to keep people, you know, drawing unemployment compensation, guess who has to pay it? And that's again, the employers. But that being said, I think part of the frustration with that, Arthur, is that, you know, it was the governor's choice to shut down businesses and drive up unemployment. Some states didn't do that, and they're not quite in the same boat that we are right now.
Well, you know, I think not to be a, you know, I'll just state what I know, and I'm not casting myself as a great defender of Kay Ivey, but she has admitted that was her one large mistake, was shutting down the state back in March or April of 2020, and that if she had it to do over again, of course, you know, we were in unprecedented times as far as the actions that were being taken across the country, that's the one she would take back. But you're right, it did harm businesses, and particularly, Phil, the way it was done, where you know, if you were deemed unessential, then you know, you had to close. A furniture store had to close, but somebody could go to Walmart or Target and buy furniture and haul it home, whereas the, you know, homegrown small town furniture store had to be closed. And that was absolutely ridiculous. And I remember saying as much back in those days.
Yeah, and that's frustrating, but I do recognize. So that's one short term suspense you've got on spending that money. What I know that some of the other things being talked about right now are something to do with healthcare infrastructure and broadband. What's the deal with healthcare infrastructure? Where would that money go to in that regard?
Yeah, I think that's something we're going to have to look at closely. You've got broadband, and then you've got sewer and water, perhaps grants where municipalities and their counties or sewer boards or whomever could apply to for a pot of money. As far as broadband, then that's something that I don't think is you know, very much disputed. The cost on that is several billion dollars. So we won't get close to, you know, knocking out our broadband issues across the state, but we can chip away. Another one, Phil, is perhaps paying off the indebtedness to the Alabama Trust Fund. When you were in the legislature, you remember that was a big issue. And, you know, the general fund has been making those payments. The thought is to go ahead and pay that indebtedness off and get the Alabama, get those, that Alabama Trust Fund back to even as far as what it loaned to the general fund. And that would then give them money to make money. And the general fund lives off those returns. As far as the healthcare, we gave $80 million in the special to hospitals and to nursing homes. And, you know, if they're back to the trough again, you know, that's something that's going to get a hard look.
Yeah, I would hope so. And I respect their work, especially during a time like this. But nonetheless, at some point you have to go, you're a private entity, do what you can. And we can't keep
Well, they're getting enhanced, you know, enhanced reimbursements for all their COVID patients. And, you know, to my knowledge, they may have reined back a little bit elective surgeries, but they're, you know, in one sense, I think that prior payment was to make them whole for the, you know, surgeries that they forewent to back during COVID. But that's something we can look at and certainly try to make a judicious decision on. But you go down that road and you start picking and choosing, and oh, we'll give you some money because you were hurt, but you're not by COVID, but we're not going to give this industry or another industry. That's a dangerous precedent.
No, I totally agree. And I appreciate you saying that. Hey, let me ask you this. You yourself, and on the show, as a matter of fact, have intoned that, you know, you're amenable to the idea of finding some way to give a tax break back to Alabamians. Now, and I want to divide that up. Regular, like tax breaks within regular revenues, but then tax breaks within this $580 million. Has there been any consideration in the CARES Act funds? We just had a recent federal ruling that seems to indicate that despite the fact that Governor Ivey, you know, turned down the idea in the past, that the feds now are saying you could use this for tax relief. Is there any indication that you would use some of those funds for tax relief of some kind?
Yes. You know, the question is how much. I think it's inevitable that there will be some tax cuts this session. You know, where and how, you know, we can run through some. I filed two bills working with Representative Lynn Greer in the House, where we've got two bills, one to raise the standard deduction and also increase the child exemption amounts. And then we've also are trying to tackle the difference between defined benefit and defined contribution plans. Those that have a 401k IRA type of retirement, they are taxed first dollar, and we're trying to address that because your defined benefit folks are not, as they pull money out of their, as the checks come to them from their pension fund. So there's a disparity there, and it needs to be rectified. And so that's something that I'm very eager in pushing this legislative session. and mainly fill with the mind of inflation is growing. You know, people on a fixed income, particularly your retirees, they need some relief. And then also, you know, we're looking at people as far as those that take the standard deduction, and that's generally those that are around the $50,000 to $55,000 household income. So you're trying to give them some relief as well. But there are going to be other tax proposals, already been privy to some, that are going to be filed. So I'm dealing with the grocery tax, which I know is near and dear to you. So we'll have a collage of bills to choose from, to debate, and but we're going to pass something, by golly. At least we better, and it better be meaningful, too.
Well, I agree with that completely, and thank you for saying that. One that I'm also kind of interested in, just the other day I had Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth on the show. He said that as a part of his small business commission, that there is going to be a proposal to do away with or at least phase out the business privilege tax in Alabama. I think that's about a $700 million total hit to the state in some capacity. I'm curious if that would get any traction, because I could see that being a win.
I don't know the fiscal note that you throw out. I don't know that it's that much. I thought it was much less. So, it is a general fund funding component. So, you know, that would be, you know, on the general fund side as to whether, you know, your general fund chairman were supportive of such an initiative. So, again, the number I had in mind was much, much less. And, of course, as you know, the less the number, the more likely it is that that would pass. If it's a $700 million delta on the state revenues of the state discretionary numbers on the general fund side, that would be almost a third of their little over $2 billion. So
no, let me rephrase, brother. I think I said the seven in the wrong spot. So now I'm looking back and I'm looking at my notes, and I as soon as I said it, I thought that sounds extreme. It's $172 million. Fiscal year collections overall is what I'm looking at there, but that's still a pretty huge piece.
Well, you know, that's something that again we will certainly consider. As I said, there are going to be a lot of, I say a lot, you know, let's say 5 to 10 meaningful tax cut proposals, and we'll just need to sift through them, sort through them. But we do need to pass something meaningful, but realize also that there is probably a revenue cliff somewhere off in the future, and we just need to be careful and cautious as we do this.
Well, and that's going to be the thing, too, and I got to wrap it up here in about 30 seconds. That's going to be the thing here, too, Arthur, is at some point you got to also watch the increased spending, because you know the deal. You're a budget chair. Once you spend more, it's expected the next year, and it gets to that point of diminishing returns at some point. Hey, State Senator Arthur Orr, thank you for your time. I know y'all start tomorrow and you're probably busy now, but we really appreciate you giving us some insights on the upcoming legislative session. Thanks for what you do.
Glad to do it. God bless.
All right, take care. That's State Senator Arthur Orr from Decatur, one of the leaders in the state Senate, giving us some indication that, in his words, he believes there will be some measure of tax relief coming in this legislative session, which starts tomorrow. I got a little more on the session. We'll talk about it when I get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. And hey, t-shirts at 4:30. We'll be right back.